Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on the other side of the glass. My friend John Couch, engineering and producing. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, the 10th of February, 2020. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, anywhere in the world live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We make it so easy for you. Just go to buckmastershow.com. We've got all of the archive. Pretty much every program we've done over 9 years is there. The live line number, 790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, we begin each Monday with our Monday political face-off. John Munger is here. Mr. Munger, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, one-time Republican candidate for Arizona governor. John, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you and Jeff?
Fine. We're doing very well. Jeff, I think we're doing well. I haven't asked Jeff yet. Jeff Rogers. Well, another well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, how are you?
I'm well. It was just a really beautiful weekend, and I'm thinking that this gem show this year is going to probably break all records for the amount of people and the amount of revenue it generates for our local city and economy. But it was a beautiful weekend to have that here, and I guess the only downside of this weekend was the Wildcats lost to UCLA.
Jeff, not only did they lose, and John, not only did they lose, but the shooting percentage, I understand, about 25%, that's one out of four shots, making one out of four, was the lowest percentage of any game at McHale Center.
Yes, I read that in the paper as well. The lowest in the entire McHale Center era. So they've got some shooting problems, and part of it is just shot selection, and part of it is that Miller's never been able to figure out how to handle zone defenses. And word is out, if you come in to play Arizona, even with these top athletes that we're attracting, you play a zone against us and force us to shoot from outside, and we can't seem to figure out the puzzle of the zone.
John, you're not even watching basketball. You've actually switched. You told me before the show you enjoyed a football game.
Yeah, I watched.
Fox has launched a new league.
Well, it's not Fox, but it's a guy named Vince McMahon or Mahan has launched the XFL, and it is fascinating. They have communications systems. It's regular football. It's a separate league. On a par with the NFL and regular football, but you get to hear the coaches calling the plays.
So it's real interactive.
It's real interactive. You get to hear the quarterback call the plays, talking to his players, and it's fascinating. And then they have on if a coach calls a play and you wonder why did he call that play, they go over and interview him while he's on the sideline.
Oh,
say, why'd you call that play?
Yeah, this is taking it really, really interactive.
It's fun.
Well, were there any 9-point plays? You've heard about the 9-point play.
I didn't see any.
But you can get a 3-point play instead of a 1 or 2
point after
touchdown. Yeah,
I don't
know.
You can get 1 point by running it from the 1, 2 points by running it from the 5, and 3 points by running it from the 10.
And of course,
so you could be down by 18 points with 5 minutes to go and still have a chance.
This is of course geared to the football fan. The Super Bowl's over.
I loved it.
So they started this up. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing presents our Monday political face-off. Family owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Jeff Rogers, Donald Trump had probably, according to David Brooks in the New York Times, his best week, most successful week. His numbers are up in the, you know, we had the Iowa dismal
debacle.
Couldn't get it together. The impeachment thing never really had legs. So what do the Dems do to regain momentum?
I'm deeply concerned both the direction of this nation and whether or not the Democrats can field a nominee that can beat Trump. I mean, the fact is, and Brooks points out in like about his fifth paragraph, only 53% of Sanders voters say they will certainly support whoever is the Democratic nominee. And he goes on to lay out how Sanders voters basically delivered Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin to Trump, and they'll do it again. We've got two scenarios that are really troubling. The first scenario is that Sanders is our nominee, and he'll lose about as bad as Barry Goldwater did or McGovern did in 72. That's the kind of loss we'll take if he's our nominee. And the second scenario is he's not the nominee, and his supporters are all sore losers like they were the last time, and they deliver the presidency to Trump single-handedly by themselves. So I'm deeply concerned. There needs to be a moderate that we can rally around, and we need to some of these people to drop out. Biden has turned out to have been a disaster, because what he's done is he's sucking up many of the moderate voters who would have gone for another candidate, but there's no excitement around his nomination and his candidacy. And so I think what's happening, what needs to probably happen, is we need to eliminate a lot of these people, and it needs to be Sanders versus the ex-governor of New York. I've gone from respecting and kind of and liking Bernie Sanders to really disliking him a lot, because he's so strident and he's so inflexible and he's so angry. And, you know, I just don't think that's a combination that's ever going to win the presidency for the Democrats.
He's 79?
I think he's 78.
What is the appeal to the very young people? Why are they rallying around him? What do you think, John?
Well, I think that a lot of the young people get confused about socialism. I mean, he's an avowed socialist. And they interpret socialism to mean some kind of compassion. That isn't what socialism means. That's what Bernie's selling. And they think socialism is a compassionate thing, and they get excited at a very light level, where they think, oh, he's a compassionate guy, and I just don't think they understand him. I agree with pretty much everything Jeff said. The problem is, and I agree, they need to come up with a moderate. This Buttigieg guy is kind of interesting. He's well-spoken. I don't think he can beat Trump just based on his experience. Being a mayor of South Bend, Indiana isn't much to.
Is he the former mayor, or is he still?
No, he's the current mayor.
He's still mayor. He's at the end of his second term.
He's got a problem with the black voters. They really don't like him. So he's got a problem with that. He's got the problem with the Bernie voters that won't vote for anybody but Bernie, as Jeff said. I think the Democrats' big hope is Bloomberg, and I think it's going to be a convention where they have several votes and they eventually come up with a candidate, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's Bloomberg.
When did that last happen? That's back in the 70s, maybe?
Probably Abraham Lincoln was a compromise candidate. But
that's often called a brokered convention.
A brokered convention, I don't know. I don't think anybody can predict. But I agree with everything that Jeff is saying, is they've got some real problems. They don't really have a program that's saleable to the public. Even this Buttigieg guy is, you know, he talks moderately, but he's selling a pretty radical program by most people's standards. And he's going to be a hard sell. Bloomberg at least has some experience. If I were the Democrats, I'd be pushing Bloomberg.
His numbers are going up, Jeff.
They're going up. I mean, he was a mayor of the largest city in America for three terms. He even got the law changed so that he could run for a third term. So, you know, he did a remarkable job as mayor. He had the downside was the stop and frisk policies, which
sounds like Putin.
Clearly a little bit unconstitutional in my mind, but he's apologized for that, and that process finally ended before he left, but I think he does make for a very strong candidate. And if you tally up the voters who are backing Joe Biden, Amy Klobuchar, Buttigieg, who's really got a quite moderate stance on most issues, and maybe even Warren to some extent, that's more than the total that are backing Bernie Sanders. But the problem is that all these other people are dividing up the votes that would not go to Sanders, and I think that's problematic for us. It means that he may get to a position where he has a plurality of the delegates but not a majority, and that makes for a very bad convention, because if he then doesn't win, His supporters are going to be enraged.
They will be enraged. I agree with that assessment, and I think that the Democrats have a major problem with that. The Democratic Party is severely split. and the Republican Party is not. And I think that's going to be, and plus, Trump has one hell of a record.
All right, we're going to pause right here and talk about Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And we were up at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, yesterday for breakfast, and the place was packed. Great to see such response to Mona's, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. We arrived at about 11. People were having, Jeff, a variety of, some were having lunch like we were, and others were having breakfast, and everybody seemed real happy.
Good.
Mona's has such a great amount of, to show you how, John, some of these pastries just fly off the shelves. They brought out a beautiful tray of right out of the oven biscuits.
Ooh.
And it was almost like a feeding frenzy because they were like gone in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
so
good.
I mean,
good, excellent.
So Mona's doing very well, home of the Danish Kringle. Of course, Valentine's Day week this week. They'd be very happy to prepare something special for your sweetheart. And those shortbread cookies that he has right now are just so good, shaped in the heart cookies. Mona's Danish Bakery.com, and of course they're one of our partners on the website, buckmastershow.com. be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I looked to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan, talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further. The folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Monday political face-off sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Spring has sprung over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site. Everything is in bloom or getting there as,
board my horse right there.
Yeah.
You know, a few hundred feet from that place. And yesterday it was mobbed.
It was.
There were cars everywhere.
Everybody's got spring fever, John.
Yeah, yeah, they want to plant.
It's a beautiful day.
They want to plant. And, of course, not only the plants there, but the Zocalo, all the great furniture from Mexico and Latin America. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. John Munger is here. And Jeff Rogers. So your horse is boarded right by there, the
right,
green things?
Right around the corner.
Huh.
On that, you access it from River Road, but it's then you go down a side road that used to be part of River Road, and then turn west on Roger Road, and it's kind of at the dead end down there.
You saw a tremendous amount of cars.
Oh, yeah, they were busy as can be yesterday.
Wow, well, that is always good for us to hear. Green Things, one of our great sponsors. So getting back to Mr. Bloomberg, what is the appeal? He served after Giuliani.
Right.
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 How could he appeal to moderates and independents, Republicans, Democrats, whatever?
Well, I mean, Bloomberg, here's the thing. Bloomberg is clearly a capitalist. Mm-hmm. He's not a socialist.
Right.
So that's a big attraction.
So you're saying just there is a huge, difference between Bernie.
He really earned it all himself. He didn't have a rich daddy to help get him started.
Yeah,
in business.
We won't get started
built
on that.
He built it all himself.
Trump has built it. He didn't get $1 billion from his father. He got $1 million to start, and that's fine. But Bloomberg did build his own business. You're asking what's his attraction. He did some things that were not popular. I got a kick out of the fact that he, after his second term, he got the law changed so he could run for a third term. If Trump tried to do that, people would have a heart attack. He isn't trying to do that, but it sounds like Vladimir Putin. That's the kind of thing Vladimir Putin would do and does.
He had a very controversial issue in his
his nanny
portfolio.
State is his
well it was called a stop and frisk policy and it was crack when he took over from Giuliani. Crime was still very high in New York City as well as other places in America, and crime has gone down rather dramatically almost every year since then, but it was a policy that tended to fall more on the backs of blacks and Hispanics, particularly males, and it was a policy that was designed to try to root out the basic crime rates in neighborhoods. I think it was based upon a theory that they call the broken windows theory of criminal justice, which is you address problems at the lowest possible level first so they don't turn into bigger problems. But it tended to be something that I think, and most people agreed, discriminated against blacks and Hispanics in New York City, and it was eventually ended. And he has particularly tried to apologize for that policy and say it was wrongheaded, and most recently so that he can probably make inroads into the African-American vote. Whether he can succeed at that is anybody's guess. I wouldn't venture a guess as to whether that will work or not, but it's something he's going to need to do to win both the nomination and the presidency if were he to be the nominee.
I think the demographics of the election, of the electorate right now, is something that a lot of people don't consider. The blacks now support Trump probably in excess, somewhere between 30% and 34%. Trump only took 6% of them during the last election. If he could take 34% of the blacks. The same with the Hispanics. I don't think Trump can be beaten. I mean, the Democrats have always counted on the black vote to come out, 94% for them. If they only get 65% of the blacks, they're in deep trouble. And I think Bloomberg has that same problem. The blacks don't particularly love him because of this stop and frisk law. He can apologize for it all he wants, but it occurred all three of his terms.
I don't know much about his personality.
I think he's a very thoughtful guy.
Doesn't seem to come through in these ads that I'm seeing. It doesn't really tell me much about his personality. With Trump, you know what you're getting.
Yeah. Well, there will be a lot of people that will like the way Bloomberg carries himself. He carries himself like a businessman.
Okay.
But he's got some severe problems both with Trump's record, with Bloomberg's own position, for example, on guns. A lot of people don't trust him on guns. They don't trust him on, you know, some of his nanny state policies where he banned sodas. You couldn't buy a soda in New York City for a while. All of these nanny state things where government's going to take care of you. And I just think he's got problems with his border. I don't think he's a border control guy. And I think he's got problems. All I'm saying, I don't know that he can beat Trump, but he's their best candidate, in my opinion.
Well, let me first address the African-American vote. Trump will never get more than 10% of them. Everybody knows he's a racist. He practically can't make it through a day without making some kind of racist remark. So, you know, he's never going to get more than 10% of the African-American
vote. I'll bet you a nickel on that.
And I'll bet you also that this poll showing him going up in popularity is an outlier.
It's an outlier. 49%.
Yeah, that's going to be...
Some polls show him 51%.
Yeah, but there are two more recent polls that show him still down in the low 40s. I think that poll is going to be shown to be an outlier within the next week or two when we see the next Gallup poll.
Jeff, I'm going to bet you a nickel. You've just made a statement that Trump won't get more than 10%
of the black vote.
Black vote. I'll bet you a nickel that he does.
What did Hillary get of the black vote?
94%.
Okay.
And Trump got 6.
Mm.
And I think that if Trump gets anywhere in the range of what he's polling with his approval ratings consistently, incidentally, it's not one poll, it's poll after poll showing
the average of polls on Real Clear Politics website shows him still lagging down there in the mid to low 40s.
Yeah, well, the problem with the Real Clear Politics poll, people need to understand that poll. That's a poll over all the polling over the past year.
Yeah.
So if he was unpopular a year ago, that's counting in his average as to what the average is today. But the polling today shows him at 51%.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a matter of what do the voters feel today?
Yeah.
Not how do they feel a year ago.
And the big issue will be this coronavirus, if it takes if the stock market and some, I was looking over the weekend, there were some, one analyst is saying this could set up a correction, being over a drop of 10%. It's all about timing, Jeff.
Yeah, but I don't think
it is. And frankly, you know, whether it happens now or whether it happens, you know, in a year from now, this is the longest economic expansion. It started in 2009.
Yeah.
This is the longest economic expansion in American history. And to Trump's credit, he didn't blow the expansion that Barack Obama started and was responsible for. But, it can't end. That's just the business cycle is the business cycle. It will end sooner or later.
There will be a recession forever.
Everybody knows it. It's a matter of when. If it starts, you know, sometime in mid-year this year, it's probably going to bode poorly for Mr. Trump. If it starts well into next year, then, you know, it'll be either Trump or the Democrat who wins his responsibility. But either way, all we can hope for is that it's short and not deep. But but there's going to be a correction sooner or later.
Yeah, that's right. People forget. There's always a correction. A recession happens on the average about every 7 years. There's a recessionary cycle. And people need to realize it's going to happen at some point. Jeff's hit the right point. It's a question of how deep it is and how big the recovery is. The problem with Barack Obama is when you go as deep into a recession as we went in 2008, you should have had a recovery that was a boom recovery. Because you're way down, you should come back, just get out of the way, boom. And Barack Obama's was very pathetic recovery, barely made it back.
Well, it was hampered a great deal by the Republicans' refusal to pass packages that would stimulate the economy.
We stimulated the economy by $1 trillion.
That's an economic fact.
That's if you believe in Keynesian economics.
Leave it right
I don't
there.
Buy into that.
All right. John Munger, Jeff Rogers, hope both of you have a great week. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and moesgallery.com presenting our Monday political face-off. Coming up next, our Better Business Bureau monthly report. That's right after this.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, your source for trusted news talk in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Pam Krim is with us now, Pam, for her monthly visit to the Buckmaster Show. Pam is the CEO and president of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. Pam, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having us today.
And we are delighted that you've brought a friend, and the friend is Pat Reisner. Pat is president of South 32. We're going to learn about what South 32 does. Pat, thanks for coming to the program.
Thank you for having me this morning. We really appreciate it.
And South 32 is important to the BBB.
Certainly. We've had the great opportunity to work with South 32, and I think all of us should more than welcome them into our community. And Pat is a great leader. They are currently, for the second year in a row, have been so generous to be our major sponsor for our Torch Awards that come up May 1st. And as the title sponsor, we've had an opportunity to get to know Pat and their organization, and again, outstanding organization, very supportive of ethics, and he has a lot of great things to educate us. So I'm not going to say much.
Well, I do want to hear about this company, South 32. What's it all about, Pat? Let's begin there. What's the footprint of this company?
Well, first, we're pleased to be involved with the Torch Awards. The spirit of that program is very consistent with our values, so it's really happy to be a part of that event again. South 32 is a global mining and metals company that's headquartered in Australia. We have operations around the world in Australia, Southern Africa, South America. But about 18 months ago, we acquired the Hermosa Project, which is down in Santa Cruz County, just south of Patagonia. It's our first project in North America, but the company really does see its future in the base metals business in the U.S. and in North America. So it makes this project really important to us. We really chose to be a part of this project and to come into Southern Arizona, first because of the quality of the resource and what the opportunity there is. It's really shaping to be one of the largest undeveloped zinc and lead resources in the world. But the community context around the project is really what's most important to us. We look to go to areas where, through the development of natural resources that the world really needs for the future, where we can make a significant difference in people's everyday lives for generations. And if you look at Santa Cruz County, 25% of the population in that county live below the poverty line. So mm-hmm. the opportunity we have with this wonderful resource that the world needs in their backyard is to really develop that in a way to help transition and make a difference, a positive difference in the lives of the people in Santa Cruz County for a long time.
Are you talking about like zinc, silver, lead, those products?
Yeah, so the resource that we're studying right now in Santa Cruz County is a zinc, lead, silver resource. So it's different to what you see in other parts of Arizona, where most of what's mined is copper.
Right.
These minerals are really critical for the future of where the world's going, particularly for those that care about climate change as we go to renewable energy, electric cars. Silver, zinc, and lead are all three critical. Silver, about half of the silver in the world, more than half, goes to industrial uses,
mm-hmm.
Not just jewelry and coins like you might think of.
Not just like my silver ring here.
Absolutely not.
I love silver.
Yeah, there's silver in every solar panel you see. There's a fairly significant amount of silver, so it's going to be important for the future. Same with zinc. Rechargeable batteries, the electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles you see on the road, which are so important to reducing emissions. Lead batteries make those go. They're essential. I mean, just about everything you see in the world that's made of steel is galvanized with zinc. So if we're going to put wind turbines up, zinc becomes really important. So that transition to a green economy these metals are crucial, and we can provide those to the world and we think make a real difference in Santa Cruz County.
There was a piece in the Arizona Daily Star yesterday in the business section about how Southern Arizona, Pam and Pat, have become this real center, a lot of synergy happening here for the mining industry.
Yeah, you are starting to see a real transition of the technology and automation side of our industry to be more centered and focused in Tucson. So it's another reason why we're proud to be here and happy to be looking to develop a project like this, because we do, you know, part of our value set and part of the way we approach this project is to show people, you know, how mining can be different, how we can provide these resources the world needs, but in a more sustainable way. And the way in which Tucson is developing its mining technology, industry and support is, makes it a great place for us to be as well.
So how is your project different than the Rosemont mine, which has just been plagued with legal challenge after legal challenge? How is the Hermosa project going to be different?
So there are a few really key technical and physical differences. Maybe before I touch on those, one thing about our approach that I think will be very important in thinking about what lies ahead is, first of all, we do respect and appreciate the right that the public has to participate in the permitting processes and some of the approvals we'll require. That's critically important. And so our approach to this early on, so right now we're not involved in any permitting yet, not any regulatory processes yet, but our approach, which I think is very unique in the industry in my experience, is to go and engage and listen early and often to all stakeholders long before you need anything, long before you're actually in a permitting process, and to start to take that in and factor that into how you think about and develop the project. So we've been doing that with the local community in Patagonia, the broader set of stakeholders in Santa Cruz County, the Native American tribes, everyone. While we're still studying the project, it's critical input, which we think down the track, as we go into permitting processes and the like, will help us produce a product that, you know, an operation or a project that's more amenable to the stakeholders. There's a couple of key differences. Our resource is located at great depth, so it will be an underground operation.
Oh, I see.
Whereas Rosemont is an open pit.
I was just going to ask you if yours was an open pit operation. It sounds like it's a different ball game.
It's underground. So what that does is it reduces the surface disturbance footprint from an environmental impact standpoint. We're looking at a mining method where some of the traditional tailings that come out of processing the ore, which in most open pit mines would have to be managed on the surface, we will manage some of those underground.
All state of the art, which also reduces
that impact. And looking at ways to deploy technology to manage some of those risks better. So they are quite different technically. And down the track as we go through permitting processes, a lot of that will come out.
What is zinc? We talked a little bit about silver, but I guess zinc and lead are really critical in industrial use.
Just about any structure you see that's made of steel.
Right.
That's open to the elements out in the open is galvanized with zinc. So it keeps steel from corroding. So we go and start to deploy more wind energy. Every square inch of a wind turbine is coated with zinc to make sure it doesn't rust. It's also used in rechargeable batteries. And the importance of lead for the green economy is really significant. If we're going to deploy more solar, deploy more wind, and actually move to 100% renewables, we have to come up with a way to store that energy so we can use it at night when the sun's not shining and when the wind's not blowing. And the battery storage technology that's developing to do that is almost solely dependent on lead batteries.
All right, Pat Reisner, thank you for sharing with my listeners and all of us here in Tucson a little bit about South 32, which is going to be the title sponsor for the second year in a row, right, Pam Krim, of your big event, which is coming up when?
May 1st, and it'll be at Casino del Sol. It starts at 5:30. We're very much looking forward to it, and I hope all your listeners had a great opportunity to get to know South 32. We're very proud to be having them participate once again.
And South 32 is based, as you said, in Australia, but wants to be a very good neighbor. Is that what I'm hearing, Pat?
Absolutely. We have an office here in Tucson with about 30 or 40 people, but we're growing. We have an office in Patagonia and as well as at the site. So we are growing our employment, and part of being a part of a great event like the Torch Awards is we want people to understand how we will approach business and the kind of corporate citizen we want to be in this community.
All right, Pat Reisner of South 32. Thank you, Pat, for sharing what's going on with your company. I appreciate it. And always a pleasure, Pam Krim. Thank you very much. We'll see you next month.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Pam Krim,
with us from the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The Buckmaster Show continues right after this.
This is Moa Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive to a beautiful area of the southwest portion of the Land of Enchantment. Good starting place before your trip over to Silver City is southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all sorts of ideas on how to recreate, have a good time, and great places to stay as well. Again, that website, southwestnewmexico, spelled out, .org. We continue now with your 2020 vote, your voice here on the Buckmaster Show and KVOI. It's our project. All of our interviews are archived. We've got them on my website, but they're going to be in a very simple place and are in a very simple place at KVOI. That's kind of a central clearinghouse. Today we meet Juan Francisco Padres. Juan is a native of Nogales, Sonora, Mexico. He came to Tucson in 1999 to attend the U of A. He's earned his BA in political science and later his master's of business administration at the UA Eller College of Management, and he is running in the Pima County for Pima County Supervisor as a Democrat in District 3, challenging longtime Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson. Juan, it's good to meet you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell me a little bit about why you decided you would like to become a Pima County Supervisor.
Well, I started career in government, per se, initially at the city of Tucson about 7 years ago. I came from J.P. Morgan Chase straight to the city, and I was working in the economic development office as an international trade specialist, and I started to really understand what government was. I think there's a difference between being on the outside and then once you go and work in it, it's like seeing behind the curtain. And I think I got my first itch while working there. And the more we got involved in different types of project, I worked for the city managers, three city managers within my 6 year career there. I really started to understand that to really do economic development, you really got to start with your workforce. And even taking it a bit further was with the early childhood education side. So that really triggered my interest in government and seeing that you can actually make a difference if you're up there. These are elected officials, whether they be at the county level or in a municipal role, they really have the power to make a huge difference in our community and the direction it takes.
Is early childhood education, Juan, doable for this county?
Absolutely. I think in the past, the ball has been thrown around to, oh, it's the state's responsibility. It's not our responsibility. Everybody says it's somebody else's responsibility. And in the meantime, we're being left out. So if we don't do it, if it's our own children, our own community, if we don't take the reins on that, then we're just going to continue on this never-ending passing the ball as to who should fund it.
What are you doing currently?
I work as a public affairs manager for an autonomous trucking company called Too Simple. It is a startup here in Tucson, but it is a unicorn, which means it's a billion-dollar startup.
Wow. How are they doing here in town?
They're doing great. Since I've been working there, we've added 50 to 60 employees, and we're looking to add another 50 to 60 this year. We've gone from 18 trucks when I started to 42, and we're moving freight for customers throughout the state of Arizona into Texas.
Tell me, beside the issue we began with the early childhood education, and we did talk about economic development, how would you bring more business into our area?
You know, first and foremost, the workforce has to be there, and that takes a while. So mm-hmm. It's not you do this and all of a sudden you have to work for. So you have to plant the seed to bring in the workforce. But immediately, a lot of it, what I noticed is it's not so, a lot of companies or you hear about that, oh, it's the tax regulations and working with site selectors and working in economic development. Nobody really said, oh, I'm not going to Tucson because you have high taxes the reality is companies want to have it easy to come in and do business. So a lot of it is the red tape. You have to make it easy for them. You have to work with the companies, understand what is their final goal, and be a business partner to them, not necessarily, obviously, the government is in place to protect, but also you're an enabler.
Why did you decide to primary Sharon Bronson?
So the reality is, I think Sharon Bronson's been there too long, since 1996, which was the same year Bill Clinton beat Bob Dole in the mm-hmm. Back in the 90s. Working at the city and just being active in the community, people have been asking for a change, and maybe being a Democrat, and other Democrats really don't want to have a Republican in that seat for political reasons. So the only way to really bring change, feasible change, is to challenge a Democratic incumbent in the primary, and I think that's the way to go.
What are you learning as you've been talking to people? What issue do they find when you say who you are and what you're running for? What do you hear?
Well, other than the basic issues that we all mm-hmm. hear working in government and in the community,
fix the roads,
but people are looking for new blood, for a new vision. People are excited to see, what if we tried things differently? And I think I can bring that to the table, thinking outside the box. Have we tried this approach before? And if we have, why didn't it work? And can we make it work? I think once somebody's been there way too long, you just become a little stale. It's like, you know, when you write a paper, sometimes you don't catch the same errors because you know what you're trying to say, and somebody else looks at it and says, oh, you missed a the and an it. So I think it's important to switch it up every now and then, and different demographic. I'm 38 years old. I have two kids, a four-year-old, a two-year-old. They're currently going to preschool. So I'm in contact with the working families that are in our demographic that are going through the same struggles of having a mortgage and raising younger ones and taking care of our older parents too. So there is that different perspective that I bring to the table.
When you do hear fix the darn roads, what do you say to those people?
You know, it's there's not a silver bullet for the roads. I think it requires a lot of different factors. It requires to definitely money management within the county budget. That's a big one. But we also have to grow the pot, and we need to be more creative in other revenue sources and streams, not necessarily increasing taxes, but how can these are billion-dollar projects that we can't just raise in 1 year or two. So it's, again, thinking outside the box, how we can benefit the entire community.
Do you think the county is fairly well run?
I think.
Are you supportive of Mr. Huckleberry?
You know, that's a great question. Having worked with Mr. Huckleberry and his team, I think the actual bureaucracy, the county itself as an organization, is actually well run, and in part is due to Mr. Huckleberry. He's been there so long, so I think he's covered every aspect of it. It's a well-oiled machine. However, I do believe that there is an opportunity to switch things up. You look at their website, it's like going back in time. You know, because they don't see it anymore. It's like when something picks up dust in your desk that's been there so long. So I think having different people, different management eventually come in and give it an overhaul, I think it's well time, it's due.
What do you like to do in your spare time?
You know, I guess having two little ones, it's
yeah, I'm looking at this picture. You've got two little girls and you're walking a cute little dog.
His name is Bruno, my beagle, my firstborn.
Uh-huh.
We spend time. We go to the zoo. We go to the park. Mm-hmm. We try to catch a movie. Mm-hmm. I wish I had more exciting things. You know, like I went scuba diving, like when I was, you know, mm-hmm. younger, or mm-hmm. skiing. And then we mm-hmm. do go to the beach every now, you know, probably once a year when time permits. But it's really being out there. If there's a fair, we take them downtown, you know, going out to the different places. So, you know, it's very family right now. It's all about them.
And where can people find out more about Juan Francisco Padres?
They can go to my website at votepadres.com, and that's spelled Padres like the San Diego Padres, P-A-D-R-E-S, mm-hmm. or even juanpadres.com. I have all my platform is on there, the different issues I'm running on.
And you've been very involved in the nonprofit community?
Yes, I'm president of Tucson, Mexico Sister Cities, which is an organization that promotes cultural, economic, educational, and humanitarian efforts between Tucson and our sister cities in Mexico.
All right. Juan Padres, thank you. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you.
It's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, Monday edition. Coming up next, we're going to talk about money with Dave Ramsey, his very popular program, on behalf of Mr. Padres and John Couch on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.